KRC. I'm here at House of Blues on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles talking to Jeremy Fisher. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm okay. I'm still catching my breath. I literally just ran off the stage. She slips away. Long dark clouds come
between us. She cries like rain. Yeah, I just finished this show and your guitar string broke this time.
Yeah, at the beginning of the set, it was a little unnerving, to tell you the truth. I didn't have a backup with me on this tour, so I improvised.
So you were just able to retune it and figure out the strings. I mean, a lot of them, you get the same notes off other strings.
Yeah, I had to revoice some of the chords, but it's really hard because with acoustic guitar, it doesn't have that much sustain, so that's why you use those things that you call capo that changes the key. Most people are listening probably know what one is, but if you don't, it's a little thing you clip onto the fret so that you can play open chords in any key. And so on acoustic guitar, there's not that much sustain, so that was the drag, was not being able to use that really and get the sustain. It's the string, of course, that I hit the hardest and I hit the most, which is the D string. But it's good every once in a while have your little, you know, a crutch taken away from you, and you have to kind of make your way through it on your own. So
it seemed like it would have been kind of unnerving. I think I would have freaked out, I'm sure, but
it's happened to me enough, and I've toured a lot without a second guitar, so you know, you just learn to get by. And you know, interestingly enough, it's easier to get through a solo show without it. You can adapt more, but when you got two guys, I've got my trio with me, so it felt a little harder because I felt like I was kind of leaving them hanging sometimes. But they're good. They didn't seem to care too much.
How did you decide to tour with a band? Was that something after recording the last album you decided to go with the full band versus just yourself?
Or? It depends. I still tour by myself sometimes. Like, I like playing with a band. I like touring with a band because then I have people around and it's good company on the road, and it's a different experience from, you know, the solo shows I've done so many of. It depends on the venue. It depends on the tour. Sometimes I'll do a tour where they just want a solo opener because logistically it's so easy, you know, to get. I mean, you know, a tour like this, it's actually, there's so many people in OAR and you know, lots of instruments and stuff, and so it's kind of like, it can be a bit of a nightmare getting few people on and off stage, but
right.
They were cool, they didn't mind having a band, so I got to bring them out.
So that worked out.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, just, like, House of Blues is a pretty cool venue, actually, up here in LA anyway, and in general. But what's your favorite type of venue to play in, and where do you enjoy playing the most?
To be honest, I like theaters the best, most consistently. Like, they're, you know, I just love that usually they're acoustically really great. They're intimate, but they can usually hold a lot of people. You know, you can play to 1,500 people, but it still feels like a living room a little bit. So that's why theaters are my favorite, and sometimes you stumble across really cool ones that have been restored. But I do like the diversity in, you know, playing different venues on different tours and or all on the same tour, because I play a different kind of show in a theater than I play in a, like, club, you know. Like, this here at House of Blues, I call it more like a club, you know, where it's like a sort of old cabaret style, you know, with
yeah.
the two levels, and but the atmosphere is more of a club vibe, and it's great to just be able to do different things and have to adapt your show, you know. Like, we don't have a stage set, we don't have choreography or anything like that, so you know, there's none of that it's like you really get the liberty to kind of just let the music be the thing that changes from night to night, and I like that.
So I know you're from Canada, and actually part of your band's from Canada too, but have you noticed there's been a lot of talk in the music industry just about how there has to be some change coming because it's gotten so just fabricated and so formulaic and everything, and like, here's a pop song, here's a pop star, we'll just keep churning people through the machine, at least in America, and like when you look at it, especially like in California and stuff. So
yeah,
Canada kind of in the late well, in the mid-90s, I guess, and through now, has kind of produced some great acts who seem to have a little more freedom just when you listen to albums, and even your album doesn't seem like there was a force.
I think that it has changed, and it is really changing at a quick rate right now. I think that, I mean, there is a lot of great stuff that comes out of Canada. You know, I won't speak for myself, but for a lot of the bands I listen to and artists I listen to are Canadian. And I think it's a different work ethic, you know, and there's no celebrity system in Canada, really. Like, the biggest acts that play arenas can still go into a grocery store and no photographers are going to follow them in there or whatever, you know. And so I think it keeps people a little more, you know, some people have to, even popular artists will have to or want to work other jobs 6-9 months of the year, you know? And so that takes the focus away from all the other stuff that surrounds the music and really just puts it on the music. And so, you know, you have a lot of great people out there touring 3 months a year and working another job that sort of balances them out and gives them more to write about. And I think what you're talking about with the, you know, manufactured pop music, that's always going to be there a little bit, probably, but I don't think it's doing nearly what it used to do in terms of numbers, and so it's going to die. It'll probably die off pretty quickly, a lot of it, you know what I mean? But let's face it, sometimes that music's really fun and really great. Like, there are some great songs that have endured that have come out of that kind of a scenario. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like it's evil or anything. It just sure would be nice if the radio didn't play so much of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then, well, in Canada, I know I read that it was actually quite a while ago when it started, like, a certain percentage of the content on the radio has to be Canadian.
33%,
which I thought was,
yeah, that's right. I mean, we have to do that in Canada, otherwise our radio stations would lazily just program everything that, you know, American pop stations program, because there's so much marketing money that's pumped into it. It's a, you know, that's a whole nother road we could go down, but yeah, it's good. There's Canadian radio, you do get some little gems that make it through because of that law, and I think it's worth having just for that fact.
Yeah, it seems pretty cool, just because every time we get a station that seems more independent, and that'll happen. Actually, radio stations have been changing a lot lately here, but it just seems like eventually they just end up turning into the same as the previous station or same thing. So
yeah,
like even OAR, like they're starting to get played on this one station more, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So you did the video for Cigarette, and that got very popular on the internet, and you actually filmed the video and everything yourself, right?
Yeah.
The entire thing. So do you have any, is that the first time you've actually made a film of any sort? Or?
Pretty much. That was the third video I made for this album. I made one for my song Scar That Never Heals and another one for Jolene. And it was really my first time experimenting with it, and I would, you know, being on a new label and in a new situation, and, you know, talk about my last record was on Sony, and now I'm on Wind Up Records, and which is ironically distributed through Sony, but anyway, you know, I have a lot more freedom being with an independent label, and so those videos I made, and that Cigarette video in particular, is sort of a product of just feeling, you know, liberated a little bit and encouraged to make my own stuff to promote the record.
So did that spark any interest in doing any sort of film at all, like either a longer play?
It's a lot of work, and I don't think I'm necessarily good at it. Like, I think I was very inspired at the time that I did it, and it sort of, if when I look back on it, you know, it's quaint, and it's very, it's got a character to it that shines through, and I think that it is that it's sort of earnestness, and so I don't know, like I think I would be getting ahead of myself to think that I could do a bigger project, but you never know. I mean, maybe for fun, I don't think I'm ready to like start working for other people and making videos and stuff, but I would like to, because it really is a nice thing I get to do, and you know, I enjoy being creative, but getting away from music a little bit, you know.
And how do you think something like that would have done as well were it not for the internet. I mean, it was pretty, it was like...
I don't think it would have gotten any attention at all if it weren't for the internet. And luckily I came up with that around the time that YouTube was really just starting to catch on, and it got featured on their front page, and it just was sort of, you know, it cascaded from there. It had a lot more to do with the circumstances, mm-hmm. I think, than what the actual video was. But that's, I mean, that's my opinion.
The internet, I mean, it's being used a lot now just to distribute music. I mean, there's the whole illegal distribution of music that goes on, but, like, as an artist, do you find that it's helpful in general? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, here, it's, we could get into a big sort of moral discussion about it. I don't think it's really worth any of that. You know, it's not, it's fundamentally changed music, and I believe there's more good music now than there ever has been, you know? Maybe we look at it differently. Maybe there'll never be another U2 or another Who or another Beatles or something like that. But that's not really the point. I mean, the point is now there's tons of small bands that are making great music and doing regional tours. And I think that that's a good thing for music and art in general. So I don't really mourn the lot. I mean, change is inevitable and you just got to roll with it. So I like it. I think that it's... You know, while it might not be putting more money in people's pockets or, like, a few people's pockets, it's allowing many more people to have small careers in music and for there to be more great music out there. So if you look at it that way, it's a good thing.
Yeah, sure.
She's my polyrhythm, carrying my heart like a beat. So fast I can't keep, but my prayers say melody. She runs guns, everyone wants guns. She runs guns, everyone wants this. She goes, she runs guns, everyone wants guns. She runs guns, everyone wants this. She goes, oh, ooh, why you wanna save me? Ooh, Lord, my soul is taken.
You've been compared pretty much, I mean, very consistently to both Bob Dylan and Paul Simon, across the board. And I think especially the look thing with Dylan, and then, you know, just physical appearance wise and some lyrics, and then Paul Simon, I think, just from sound and that perspective. So is there anyone else that you feel you're influenced by, and are you even influenced by those guys? I mean,
yeah, to a certain extent, but they're not really like my main influences, you know, like in the style of what Bob Dylan does. I think I would say John Prine is a much bigger influence on what I do. And you know, I like a lot of artists like Paul Simon who have incorporated sort of world music into what they do, whether it's like David Byrne or Peter Gabriel, or, you know, I so those the kinds of things are inevitable. I was watching a Tom Petty documentary today, and it just struck me when he started out how much, you know, especially with his first band Mudcrutch, he sounded exactly like Bob Dylan to me, you know. But of course he's not. Now over time he's grown into being a icon of his own, you know.
Right.
So I think those comparisons early on are inevitable, and also the playing, like I think that I play it up a little bit because it's, I know it's on people's minds. It's like I don't know what I could do to change people's. I mean, I could shave my head.
Yeah, basically.
I could get a nose job so I don't have this big nose like Bob Dylan. You know, it's like, but I'm not going to do that. So it's more fun to play it up a little bit and then twist it, because obviously I think I'm a much different personality and my songs are a lot different from his.
I would say, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let me get to a fan question. So Joanne Galinsky wrote and asked, actually, what was the strangest venue you ever played at?
Well, Joanne, the strangest venue I ever played was when I first moved to Seattle, and I got a gig playing at this bar that paid like $20, and I didn't find out until I actually got on stage that I was the opening act for a drag show. And that was pretty surreal because I'd never even been to a drag show in my life. The closest I'd seen was probably like in that movie The Birdcage with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. So that, yeah, that was the strangest, a drag, you know, it was, and it, I think it had like drag shows ever. You could call it a drag bar or whatever, you know, but yeah, that was the strangest for sure.
And what's in your CD player right now?
Well, I got a 3-disc changer. Nice. Still, and I do actually have a CD player that I listen to. I kind of prefer the CDs to MP3s. I would say in there right now, as I left on tour, I probably left a Josh Rouse CD, a Feist CD. The last one, Let It Die, is probably in there. I'm going literal on you here. Josh Rouse, Feist, and what would be the other one? Could be Sigur Rós, something like that. No, not in that set, it wouldn't be. No, with those two, it would be Amy Mullen.
All right, and then Reagan said that you wrote in your blog that you cut some vocals for a TV theme song at Avatar Studios, and wants to know what happened to that, and was the song used in the TV show?
It hasn't been used yet, but I'll tell you this. The new season just started up this month of June 2008, and I asked my manager, and apparently we have no way of knowing if it's going to be used or not. So I still don't want to say. But if it is, I promise to post it on another blog. So it'll be up there, and it's a show I guarantee you will be out on DVD, or you'll be able to download it, and you'll be able to find it. And I'm excited about that. I hope it does get used.
Just in your writing process, I think you cover actually quite a few different subjects in your songs, and I mean, people who've read reviews of you know that Scar That Never Heals, what it's about, and American Girl, but just how do you kind of end up writing? Do you just kind of, something will come into your head, or do you actually sit down with the guitar? How does that whole process work for you?
It gets changes over time, you know. It used to be very much like I put aside time for songwriting, and I spent just a lot of time doing it. Now that I don't have so much time, it's little bits here and there, you know. So I found lately I've been writing down song titles, you know, just to try and, I've never done that. I don't think I've completed one yet. Maybe one. Maybe I've completed one. I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's so new, but. So I'll write down a song title, or I'll write down, jot down some little lyrics, or like what I think is a chorus, or it's a lot of little ideas that I kind of piece together. And I've just started, I had a month off, just before this tour, where I was kind of starting to compile those ideas, and it really started working out for me. And it's just something I've had to resort to because I've been touring so much, and I can't get anything done on the road, because as you can tell right here, it's like, yeah. There's not a moment of privacy, you know? So it's, that's the new method. It's kind of, it's like a combination between like a collage and like a crossword puzzle where I have all these, you know, words and pieces that fit together, and I sort of have to figure out how they're all going to work into a song or an album. Now there's planes and bullets in the street. American girls got me beat. On this leash, American girls with American dreams walk on me, they walk on me, and her eyes are the sky, blue and white, dropping bombs, planting mines, she paints my world in red. So have you ever written with anyone else, or is there anyone you would like to work with? I guess that's kind of two different thoughts there. Really. Yeah, I have written with other people, and it's often really challenging to do that. You know, it's hard to build up a rapport with someone, because quite often you might just sit down with them for a day or two, But, yeah, I don't know. I like it. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world for me, so... but I'm always up for it, you know. It's nice. I mean, I can always write on my own, so when given the opportunity to try writing with someone, I generally take it. But I don't have like a wish list of, it's not something I really dream of, you know, probably because of all those awkward ones. And I would hate to try and set something up with someone that I really admire and then it be awkward, you know. I would make it hard to. I'd probably never do it again after that.
You covered You Shook Me All Night Long tonight. Is that your favorite song to cover, or is there a song that you...
No, that's a... Well, going back to the broken string thing, that's one that where I don't really have to play it very well, and people are very forgiving of it because everybody knows the words, yeah. And so I just thought, I was feeling a little self-conscious about the whole broken string thing. I cut 2 songs out of my set because of it, and I just thought, you know, in case anybody, I was feeling weird about it, in case anybody else was feeling weird, that's a song like that, and a kind of, you know, doing that song on acoustic guitar is kind of inherently funny to me,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, totally.
So, no, I don't do it very much. There was a period where I was doing it a bunch, but I probably haven't done it in, you know, 6 months or more now.
Is there a favorite song you just like to sing or cover at all?
Lately on this tour, like when I cut out was Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel. We've been doing that one. I've gone through phases with a bunch. I used to do... Now, don't ask for these if anybody out there reading this or listening to this is going to come to one of my shows, because a lot of them I really have phased out. I used to do Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder. I used to do My Girl quite a bit. I used to do a lot of Motown stuff. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. I don't know. Canned Goods by Greg Brown, which is a bit of an oddball one. Most people won't know who he is, but I really like that one. The other night I did Blown in the Wind, again, playing up to the whole Bob Dylan thing, just because, to me, that was funny. I closed the set with that, and, I don't know. I know a lot of other people's songs, and if I'm moved to play them, I do, but
it's cool.
A lot of nights I won't do a cover at all.
Yeah. So I just have, just a few questions about your first music experiences, so... What was the first album you either bought or owned?
The first one I ever bought with my own money was Howard Jones' Dream Into Action.
Did you sense buy it on CD? Or?
No, I bought it on cassette tape, and I don't even think I actually have that cassette anymore. But that one I bought because a good friend of mine had it, and so I wanted it. The first album I ever bought that sort of was based on the formulation of my own taste was Aha, Hunting High and Low, and shortly after that, Madonna's True Blue. And I don't own either of those on CD either. Or MP3s in my iTunes.
What was the first concert you attended?
AC/DC on the Razor's Edge tour in Toronto.
And Toronto has a cool music scene anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in general,
yeah.
Just in like smaller clubs and stuff like that.
There's tons of places to play in Toronto. It's a great city for music, for sure. Yeah.
Heard that. Do you remember the first time you played in public?
Yep, I played in my high school cafeteria with a couple friends, and we did like all cover songs. We did Pinball Wizard and Wonderful Tonight and Your Song by Elton John and Brown Eyed Girl.
You mentioned like two, well, I guess The Who, Pinball Wizard, but like Elton John's an artist, for example, who's majorly influenced by what happened or what's gone on in the South with music and jazz and stuff, and you have that influence too, right?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I used to, the first tour I ever did when I was 18 was with a 20-piece jazz orchestra in Europe, and I went to school for jazz for a little bit after that, but I don't really listen to any jazz anymore. It just sort of was a quick phase I went through.
Do you ever, in your shows, like when you don't have an issue with your guitar, do you tend to jam or?
Not really. That's not me. It's funny. I do a lot like backstage and just when I'm fooling around, but no, it's not really my thing. I don't know. I like songs. I like when they... I don't really like it when they go past the 5-minute mark. I lose my own interest in them, and so I think I'm a little self-conscious about that too, you know? Like, I think part of it comes out of me just worrying about the person with the shortest attention span in the whole place, you know? Which isn't a great... I'll admit, it's not a great reason for that, but at the same time, I've just never been one to go on for too long.
What was the first instrument you learned to play?
The piano.
Piano. Mm-hmm. Did you play that in the jazz?
No. I played guitar in the jazz band. Piano, I played for a couple years, and then I gave it up, and I played clarinet for a few years, and then guitar.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks. Appreciate
yeah, thanks for your time.
Cool.
The treetops sing like an angel's choir. My old sinker swing from a telephone.